Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Back to our coverage of Budget 2025. Now we'll have Minister for Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue, in a short while. We're going to look at a few different sectors now, though. Cafes and restaurants and hospitality had been looking for a reduction in VAT again to 9%. That did not materialise. And we'll talk to Adrian Cummins of the Restaurants Association momentarily. Child benefits is to increase, but will it, along with other measures, eradicate child poverty? We'll hear from, we're going to talk to Louise Bayliss of Focus Ireland and Spark on that very issue. And will today's budget cause inflationary pressure? Will prices start going up because of the increases to various payments? Will prices start going up for you and I? Well, yes, according to the Nevin Institute economist Tom McDonald, and we'll come to Tom in just a second. But first, Adrian Cummins, Chief Executive of the Restaurants Association of Ireland, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening.
You seem to be spitting bullets. You're angry that you didn't get the 9% VAT rate.
Well, our industry is reeling from the news today that we got basically nothing in the budget at a time where we've had nearly 700 food-led businesses close in the last 12 months. We've had three high-level meetings with government. At no stage did they say that we were not getting the 9% VAT rate. And what we're seeing now is many, many businesses, after listening to the news today, deciding whether they're going to continue in business over the next number of weeks and months ahead. And what those closure rates will continue.
That was my question. What do you think the consequence of not getting the 9% VAT rate will be in hospitality?
Well, the consequence is that the cost of business at the moment is still going up. The minimum wage increase of 80 cents, there'll be a knock-on effect for that through wage inflation. Our staff must be paid. There's a shortage of housing in the country, and that's why wage inflation is going up and up. But then on the other side, the government had a prime opportunity here with one stroke of a pen when they were flush with cash, billions coming in from corporation tax, to look at the hospitality industry, which is one of the most hardest hit in terms of closures, and to bring that VAT rate from 13.5% down to 9%. Not alone did they not do that, they created a grant of €4,000 that will be given to about 32,000 businesses. Now, when you calculate the minimum wage increase of 80 cents per hour, that'll cover the cost of two staff for
okay.
a business.
Yeah, but it's something at least. They've also deferred auto enrolment, and they've also simplified some tax reliefs as well. There's a benefit in crime improvement as well. So I mean, there are things in the budget for business.
So they've deferred another cost that's coming down the tracks for us in September. And I can assure you, there's a lot of businesses that aren't even looking at September, looking at the here and now and how to sustain their business. And we've said this umpteen times, that the cost of the business to our industry, because we're so labour intensive, is out of sync with many, many other European countries. And if they don't do something on a support package for us, you'll see that much, much more closures. And okay. That's not good for the local society or our tourism industry at large.
Really briefly, what's your message then? We'll hear from Minister Pascal Donoghue later on. What's your message to him?
Well, the message is that there is huge anger out there from the industry. And I think the minister needs to listen to industry and not listen to the officials in Merrion Square. I think there's a bigger picture here in terms of the closure rates of Indigenous Irish businesses. We hear a lot about startup technology companies. We hear a lot about foreign direct investments and support for them. But where's the real support for a small Indigenous business in this country that you'll see that they will be helped right through, and especially in a labour-intensive business like in hospitality?
Is this a fait accompli? Do you accept that this is the budget now? There's no going back on the 9% issue?
The only way that can change their mind is on the finance bill in a number of weeks' time. And you can imagine now these business owners, when the TDs goes back to their constituencies, what they're going to be told in their clinics when they move around their constituency from business owners that depended on that 9% being implemented. I think they're going to get it in the neck in terms of the anger out there across the hospitality sector, which, you know,
Yeah, they expect that, though. They expect that. But there's an election in a few weeks' time. There's obviously... Well, you have to just suck it up, is the question.
Well, you can suck it up or you can take to the fight. And our members are very clear in this is the 9% is a very clear... And it's a live issue for us.
Okay.
And come around to election time, whichever manifesto has the 9% in it, I'm sure our members will be looking at it very, okay. very clearly.
I hear you loud and clear. Adrian Cummins of the Restaurants Association of Ireland, thank you very much indeed. 51551 for your text. Louise Bayliss is with me, campaign manager for Focus Ireland and spokesperson for Spark. Louise, you're very welcome to the programme. Minister Pascal Donoghue said today that this government has made eradicating child poverty an absolute priority in the budget today and for the government. And he mentioned initiatives such as doubling the child benefit. That helps, does
yeah.
it?
No, I'm very disappointed to see the doubling of the child benefit. We know that every time they double a child benefit payment, it costs the state 170 million euro. You know, if we were to actually eradicate child poverty, you target the poorest children. And the poorest children in general are those who are relying on social welfare payment. Now, what we've seen is a four-year increase for children under 12 and a 15-year... What we were looking for is a six-year increase for children under 12 and a 15-year increase for children over 12. That would have really drastically helped to lift children out of poverty. What we've got was 4 euro for children under 12 and 8 euro for children over 12. The cost of actually doing that measure that I said, the 6 euro and the 15 euro, would have cost 136.8 million. That would have drastically lifted children out of poverty. But what we got was two payments okay. of the double benefit. That would have cost 340 million.
We could have given
every family the universal payment, but also targeted the children who are most in need. And that's disappointing.
You're saying it's
nobody
not targeted
was looking
enough.
For...
What about, though, the grant for newborn children, 420 euro each for every newborn?
You know, that's a step in the right direction. I think there's it's a really positive thing to see that children are, new families, young families are going to get that support at a time that's most needed. And it's a lovely gesture. And I think it's a step in the right direction. I really welcome that move.
And the extension
again,
to the hot school meal programs. I mean,
school meals, the extension of the free school books to second level to the senior cycle, they're all really beneficial. But we also have, which it was called for and is necessary, as a school holiday poverty fund okay. for children who are hungry outside school. That in itself says there's a failure. It's great that we're getting the 1 million pilot for the pilot scheme, really positive, but it's a failure in the system that we have children going hungry.
Okay, and you say more could have been done in a targeted way. Louise Bayliss, thank you very much.
In a targeted way,
we'll certainly talk to you again. We're just getting very initial reaction from various sectors. Thank you, Louise Bayliss, for joining us on the programme. Dr. Tom MacDonald, co-director of the Nevin Economic Research Institute, is with us now, affiliated to ICTU. You're very welcome to the programme, Tom.
Thank you very much.
We have numerous one-off payments here. Could it be inflationary?
Oh, the budget is inflationary for sure. If you're looking at the 8.3 billion and then the 2.2 billion on top of that, it's well above the ability of the economy to grow over the longer term. There's no doubt that essentially if you're pumping that amount of money into the economy at a time of full employment, with already constraints in terms of construction workers, record net wealth. But yeah, it will push up inflation somewhat in 2025.
Well, the counter, I suppose, is that the inflation rate has fallen drastically in the last number of months, a year or so. And also, they have so many billions to play around with. They're putting billions away for a rainy day as well.
They are. They're putting some of it away for a rainy day. The problem is the windfall corporation tax receipts are closing in on 15 billion or so, and they have a surplus of about 9 or 10. So they're actually pumping some of it still into the economy when they should be saving all of it for when we actually need it. There will be recessions in the future. Those days will come. That's not to say that everything is to be disliked here. I mean, some of the decisions around the use of the AIB money is positive how they're going to use that. But overall, there's no doubt that this will be a fiscally dubious and inflationary budget. And for what it's worth, the once-off payments as well, remember, once they run out, all they're doing is they're postponing the loss of real income from the cost of living increases. So
okay.
to Louise's points earlier, what they should be doing is targeting them to households that actually need the help. Unfortunately, what this budget will do is it'll increase inflation, and it certainly harks back to some of the mistakes of 2005, 2006.
Okay. Dr. Tom McDonnell of the Nevin Economic Research Institute, thank you very much indeed.
Ever considered what a farmer, a retailer, and an ice cream van owner have in common? They all rely on this planet. Every business does. That's why AIB is here to help. Our Green Living Hub has the practical knowledge and support businesses need to become more sustainable. Search AIB Green Business to find out more. AIB, for the life you're after. Allied Irish Banks PLC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
At Uno Energy, we've already shaken up the energy market with a really simple offer, Ireland's cheapest electricity. Now we're shaking it up again with another simple offer, Ireland's cheapest electricity and gas. So the choice is simple. Get Ireland's cheapest dual fuel deal at unoenergy.ie and save up to €900 a year on your energy. With Uno Energy, you just know. Uno Energy discount fixed smart dual fuel rate EAB 2353 euro. For T's and C's rates and savings calculation, see unoenergy.ie. Suppliers pricing may change.
A visit to Ideal Bathrooms' stunning showrooms in Dublin will show you the quality of your choices, including luxury brands such as Villeroy and Boch, with over 100 bathroom displays on show, and of course, help from our expert staff. Ideal Bathrooms, the ultimate bathroom experience. Sale now on Ideal Bathrooms. Ideally, everyone should have one.
RTE Radio 1. Don't
you Simple Minds. Forget about me. Live. The Summer Series at Trinity College Dublin on July 1st. Tickets available this Friday at 9 a.m. Open up your heart. Sanctify yourself. Simple Minds. Live in Dublin. Tickets available this Friday.
Music updates on RTE Radio 1.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Prepare now for a future you can look forward to. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about starting your pension.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
Now, childcare is an issue that has been discussed a lot, and I'm joined now by Catherine Cox and carers as well, and what they've got in terms of this budget. Catherine Cox is Head of Communications and Policy with Family Carers Ireland. Catherine, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac.
Now, the Taoiseach Simon Harris said this morning that he believed many families, older people, carers and people with a disability would, by the end of the day, feel seen by this government, were his words. Has Budget 25 made you feel seen and your friends and colleagues?
I believe it has, Cormac, in terms of certainly the increases that we've seen in income support. So, for example, and one of the things we have called for many years is the abolition of the means test for carers allowance, which is a weekly payment. So we know that wasn't going to be done overnight. So we asked for income disregards to be increased. So far more carers will come into the net for carers allowance. We have seen that today for a single person, that income disregard has been raised from €450 to €625. And what that means is a single person can earn up to €625 per week and still be entitled to full rate carers allowance.
Okay,
and
so
in a
that's
couple,
about,
that's down to €1,250.
Okay, so I think for a single person, you can earn about, am I right, 32,500 or so. And then
yes,
up to that point, you can get the grants. But if you
yes,
go beyond
you
that,
the
you're not eligible.
If
is that right?
No, if you go beyond that, you may get a reduced rate. And then at some point, you will get no payment at all. And that's why we said we know this will happen gradually. By the end of, by 2027, we still want the abolition of the means test. But this is moving very much so in the right direction towards that.
Okay.
So that's the first thing.
And Minister Pascal Donoghue told us we couldn't, I asked him, why not eradicate the means test altogether? And he said, mm-hmm. look, you can't do everything overnight. But I suppose it holds that if they don't have the money next year, that won't be reduced further.
It does. And look, whilst we welcome the likes of the once-off payments today as well, again, they are once-off. And so what we need to see is real adequate income, a fair payment for work done by family carers. But as I said, this goes absolutely in the right direction. This will bring thousands more family carers into that net.
Okay, so that's good now, from that point of view. Well, can I ask you about another issue in terms of the recruitment and retention as well of carers? Is there anything in the budget that gave you, because I know that's a difficult issue, anything that helps in that regard?
So look, so whilst there were positive announcements on income support, the announcements on health and education, we don't have a lot of the detail there. So we are concerned that there seems to be things missing. One thing they've announced is 600,000 extra home support hours. But we want to know how are they going to deal with that very issue, which is a recruitment challenge for home care workers to work in the care sector. And we know that somebody working in the HSE, for example, has much better terms and conditions than somebody working either in a private home care or within organisations like voluntary organisations. So we want to see how they're going to address that real recruitment and retention challenges.
But as of now, can't see anything. Is that right in terms of
home
care workers?
But yeah, so we're hoping that with Minister Butler and the Minister for Health tomorrow, Minister Donnelly, we will see more of that detail. We also know they've announced $336 million for disability services. How will that impact on the likes of respite provision for carers? Because this is one of the biggest challenges. So more respite beds, where will they be? How will they address the gaps and the demand? And the other thing is they did not mention the carer guarantee today. And that's a promise or a commitment in the programme for government to eliminate the postcode lottery for services and supports for carers across the country. They've promised to do that before the end of this government. It requires 3.3 million. We didn't hear that today, hoping we will hear it tomorrow.
That's a crucial issue, isn't it? Because depending on where you live in the country, access to carers and access to respite, you know, is very patchy, is it not?
It is. So look, we need to see more of that information and we're hoping that that will be contained in the information and the session that we hear from the Minister for Health tomorrow. But again, education is another issue. And I suppose our last point is, look, we know there were families crying out for vital therapies and supports. We didn't see any of that information either today. So hoping we'll get more tomorrow and we can respond fully. But today, on the income support side, definite steps in the right direction. And I would like to commend Minister Humphreys and her staff within social protection. They have definitely moved positively forward. And this will have a positive impact on family carers.
Okay, so you need more information on the issues that you've outlined. Catherine Cox from Family Carers Ireland, thank you.
Drive Time on RT Radio 1. Listen back on the RT Radio app.
Welcome back. Let's return now to some sectoral and interested party reaction to Budget 25. I'm joined by Pat Crotty of the Vendors Federation. Pat, you're very welcome to the programme. I'm told you're stunned by the budget. Why?
Stunned because we had explained our situation to everyone in the Oireachtas, TDs, senators, and particularly every minister, and particularly the ministers with economic regard, and they said they knew and understood, and they said they would recognise and do something for the sector because it's government policy that has us in the position we're in, and they entirely and completely ignored us.
So what position are you in, and what did you ask for specifically? Is it the 9%?
The 9% was a response, but the position we're in is that government policy changed the VAT last year for people who serve food, but for even for people who don't serve food, they have a government policy to raise the minimum wage to a living wage, and we have absolutely no problem with that happening, except that it isn't a government policy, it's a policy that we have to pay for. And that's fine for businesses that can afford it, but for businesses who can't afford it, they're just left to hanging out to dry.
I'm going to stick with this because it's very important for your sector for just a second, even though the line isn't great. Yeah. What do you think the consequences are of them not heeding your request to reduce the VAT rate again, Pat?
Well, Cormac, the VAT rate applies specifically to pubs that sell food. For those people, the continued sale of food is becoming a very tenuous position. Even the ones that are busy are really just being busy fools, as some people, some publicans describe themselves. Mm-hmm. There is no margin in it because they were making low margins anyway, and now the government is forcing them to spend that. Every week, the VAT has gone out. Every week, the extra wages have gone out, and there is no regard for the business's capacity to pay.
Is there a danger of closures?
As simple as that. There is absolutely a danger of closures, and it manifests itself. First, pub closures are usually slower than restaurant and cafe closures. What you will see is pubs, more pubs deciding they won't open on Monday and Tuesday. Some of them won't open Wednesday and Thursday. They'll just say, well, there's really only the weekend in it, depending on their location. Mm-hmm. And we represent the pubs all around the country where they can't depend on being busy on early in the week.
So I do detect that you're really disappointed with the government, and I know you've had meetings with them. Can I ask you, and I ask this of Adrian Cummins of the Restaurants Association, will you have to suck this up now, Pat, do you think? Or do you start now this evening mounting a campaign to have them do a U-turn on this VAT rate issue?
Well, we never saw the situation arising where they would do nothing. I mean, when you look at a giveaway budget of the scale there was an expectation, or certainly a reasonable hope, that there would be something for our sector. We're in a position now where there is nothing.
Okay.
Literally nothing, except increased PRSI and various other costs that our government delivered that will all increase in the next 12 months. We have to regroup and rethink, but we certainly cannot just let it lie. And we can't afford to just suck it up, because sucking it up for a lot of people just is going to mean closing their door.
Okay. Well, I know Minister Pascal Donoghue was on this programme. He'd take issue with your suggestion that there is nothing, and he could point to some things that are there for business. But I do take your point from your sector's point of view. Pat Crotty, CEO of the Ventnors Federation, thank you very much indeed for joining us. I'm joined now by Elaine Dunn, President of the Federation of Early Childcare Providers. You're very welcome, Elaine, to the programme.
Thank you so much.
As we've covered, a €1.4 billion increase in funding for early learning and childcare and a 44% increase for the National Childcare Scheme. What's your reaction?
So I think there's a little bit of confusion around all of this. The actual funding that was said today, the 44% increase for parents on the National Childcare Scheme, it appears that that is already funding that's been put into the sector since September of this year to bring us into September next year, that there is actually, it doesn't seem to be that there is an increase in NCS for the parents at all. So there's a bit of confusion around that, because
that's your understanding, is it? We'll try and clarify that. Go on, yeah.
We're trying to get clarity, but that is my understanding now after talking to a couple of reporters this evening who have been given clarity from the Department of Children. So realistically, we actually genuinely don't know what's actually coming. We know that there's some funding has been ring fenced for the provision for increase of staff wages, but we don't know what that is. We don't know, have the providers, have the small and medium services and some of the larger services, are we going to be looked after if we're stuck in historical fee freezes from 2016? Or for those early childhood care and education services who are in historical fee freezes going back to 2010, mm-hmm. what has been done about them, because they offer parental choice and they're closing.
So you want clarity on that. You say it's already been announced. I'm reading from Minister Pascal Donoghue's speech. He says funding for the National Childcare Scheme will increase by a further 44%. This investment will mean that next year parents will see full-time childcare costs reduce even further by an additional €1,100. In addition, the number of children availing of the NCS is set to increase to 216,000 in 2025. But are you saying you're still uncertain as to, because you've obviously heard that today?
We are, in particular after, because we were of the same opinion as you have. But from talking to reporters here this evening who've asked for my for me to come in on it, and I was like, I actually don't understand how we're all after getting it wrong. But in actual fact, the Department of Children have given clarity to say there isn't that increase for parents. It is already funding that is allocated from September of this year.
If the department is listening, and I'm sure they are, we would like clarity on that for sure before the end of the programme. The National Childcare Scheme, is it what was announced since September, or is it a further 44% increase in funding? Apart from that, and I know it's a big apart from that, Elaine, what are your impressions of the budget?
I don't have a good impression at the moment, but you know, with everything that's allocated out to the sector, you have to wait for the detail, which I know that we are going to be given tomorrow at 12 o'clock. But I think my biggest issue at the moment is that you're seeing so many small and medium services that are saying, we can't do another year of this. We won't survive. Loads of them have closed down. I mean, 32 in Dublin alone since June of this year. You know, when are the Department of Children going to actually really look at the issues on the ground and the historical fee freezes and the early childhood care and education services nationally that are seen to be closing their doors?
Okay. Well, I put some
of your
points.
You know, it's a very sad day if, you know, if this isn't looked at and, you know, if Minister Gorman doesn't do something to support these providers, I would be extremely worried about
okay.
the future.
You sound quite despondent. I put some of your points or points like them to Minister Pascal Donoghue, and he said there is progress in this budget for the sector, but you can't do everything in one go, is me paraphrasing what he's saying. Look, Elaine Dunn, President,
can I
really briefly, yeah?
Sorry. I just wanted to come in and just say, like, so many of us have been saying the same thing, that this sector is in severe trouble. We've asked for the Department of Children and for government to do something to stabilise the sector and the providers to ensure the viability of these services and that they can remain open. We have not seen that today. Okay. It's a very disappointing day for us if something doesn't come out tomorrow.
As I say, I note your despondency or your disappointment. Elaine Dunn, President of the Federation of Early Childcare Providers, thank you very much indeed for joining us. I'm joined now by Donal Swan, who's Economic Equality Coordinator with the National Women's Council. What's your reaction to the budget, Donal?
Hi, Cormac. Thanks for having me on. So the National Women's Council, like, we welcome, you know, many of the permanent measures in Budget 2025. There are some really good ones in there which will really support women. There's a women's health package, which includes free hormone replacement therapy and access to IVF. There's an increase of €15 for maternity, paternity, parents and adoptive benefit. There's the extension of the free school book scheme, and there's changes to the carers allowance threshold and care support grant as well. But we really do worry, I suppose, that the government is continuing to rely on, to a large extent, on temporary and once-off measures with the cost of living package, which I know others have said on your programme. You know, it'll be welcome for many going into the winter, but it's not secure and it doesn't last. It's not the permanent kind of structural reform that we'd like to see, and that extends to areas like health and childcare when it comes to that investment.
So the one-off payments you welcome, but it's not the structural reform you'd like to see, you say. What kind, really briefly, of structural reform are you hoping for?
Well, in the social protection area, it's we really want to see it move towards benchmarking of rates, so that there's a built-in increase every year that isn't the kind of political football that we have now, or the kind of once-off payments. And then in other areas, like, I know childcare is a big one for us as well, and we really want to see the government indicate a move towards a public system of early childhood education and care, because significant reform is, I think, the only way to tackle the crisis in the sector.
Okay, Donal Swan of the National Women's Council, thank you very much indeed for joining us.